The Mystical City of God, Book 1, Chapter 3, Creation of the Angels and the Fall of Lucifer. The cause of all causes is God, who created all things that have being. His powerful arm gave existence to all his wonderful works ad extra, when and how he chose. The beginning and succession of the work of creation is described by Moses in the opening chapter of Genesis. Since the Lord has given me an understanding thereof, I will mention what I think useful for elucidating the mysterious origin of the incarnation of the Word and of our redemption. The words of the first chapter of Genesis are as follows. 1. In the beginning God created heaven and earth. 2. And the earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. 3. And God said, Be light made, and light was made. 4. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. 5. And he called the light day, and the darkness night, and there was evening and morning one day, etc. Of the first day, Moses says that in the beginning God created heaven and earth. He created heaven for angels and men, and the earth as a place of pilgrimage for mortals. These places are so adapted to their end and so perfect that, as David says of them, the heavens publish the glory of the Lord, the firmament and the earth announce the glory of the works of his hands. The angels were created in the empyrean heavens and in the state of grace by which they might be first to merit the reward of glory. For although they were in the midst of glory, the divinity itself was not to be made manifest to them face to face and unveiled, until they should have merited such a favor by obeying the divine will. The holy angels, as well as the bad ones, remained only a very short time in the state of probation, for their creation and probation with its result were three distinct instants or moments separated by short intermissions. In the first instant, they were all created and endowed with graces and gifts, coming into existence as most beautiful and perfect creatures. Then followed a short pause, during which the will of the Creator was propounded and imitated, and the law and command was given them, to acknowledge Him as their Maker and Supreme Lord, and to fulfill the end for which they had been created. During this pause, instant or interval, Saint Michael and his angels fought that great battle with the dragon and his followers, which is described by the Apostle Saint John in the 12th chapter of the Apocalypse. The good angels, persevering in grace, merited eternal happiness, and the disobedient ones, rebelling against God, merited the punishment which they now suffer. At first they received a more explicit intelligence of the being of God, one in substance, trine in person, and that they were commanded to adore and reverence Him as their Creator and highest Lord, infinite in His essence and attributes. All subjected themselves to this command and obeyed it, but with a certain difference. The good angels obeyed through love and on account of the justice of it, offering their love and goodwill, freely admitting and believing what was above their intelligence, and obeying with joy. Lucifer, on the other hand, submitted himself because the opposite seemed to him impossible. He did not do it with perfect charity, for he, as it were, was divided in his will between himself and the infallible truth of the Lord. In consequence, it happened that the precept appeared to him in a measure difficult and violent, and his fulfilling of it was wanting in love and in the desire to do justice. Thus he exposed himself beforehand to the danger of not persevering. Although grace did not leave him on account of this remissness and slowness in the accomplishment of these first acts, nevertheless his bad disposition began with them. For there remained with him a certain weakness and laxity of virtue and spirit, and the perfection of his nature did not shine forth as it should. It appears to me that the effect of this remissness in Lucifer is similar to that which is caused in the soul by a deliberate venial sin. I do not say that he sinned mortally, nor even venially at that time, since he fulfilled the precept of God. But this fulfillment was remiss and imperfect, springing more from a sense of overwhelming compulsion than from a loving willingness to obey. Thus he put himself in danger of falling. In the second place, the angels were informed that God was to create a human nature and reasoning creatures lower than themselves, in order that they too should love, fear, and reference God as their author and eternal good. They were informed that these were to stand in high favor, and that the second person of the Blessed Trinity was to become incarnate and assume their nature, raising it to the hypostatic union and divine personality, that therefore they were to acknowledge him as their head, not only as God, but as God and man, adoring him and reverencing him as God-man. Moreover, these same angels were to be his inferiors in dignity and grace, and were to be his servants. God gave them an intelligence of the propriety and equity, of the justice and reasonableness of such a position. For the acceptation of the merits foreseen of this man-God was exhibited to them as the source of the grace which they now possessed, and of the glory which they were to obtain. They understood also that they themselves had been, and all the rest of the creatures, should be created for his glory, and that he was to be their head. All those that were capable of knowing and enjoying God were to be the people of the Son of God, to know and reverence him as their chief. These commands were at once given to the angels. To this command all the obedient and holy angels submitted themselves, and they gave their full assent and acknowledgment with an humble and loving subjection of the will. But Lucifer, full of envy and pride, resisted and induced his followers to resist likewise, as they in reality did, preferring to follow him and disobey the divine command. This wicked prince persuaded them that he would be their chief, and that he would set up a government independent and separate from Christ. So great was the blindness which envy and pride could cause in an angel, and so pernicious was the infection, that the contagion of sin spread among innumerable other angels. Then happened that great battle in heaven, which St. John describes. For the obedient and holy angels, filled with an ardent desire of hastening the glory of the Most High and the honor of the Incarnate Word, asked permission and, as it were, the consent of God to resist and contradict the dragon, and the permission was granted. But also another mystery was concealed in all of this. When it was revealed to the angels that they would have to obey the Incarnate Word, a third precept was given them, namely, that they were to admit, as a superior conjointly with him, a woman, in whose womb the only begotten of the Father was to assume flesh, and that this woman was to be the queen and mistress of all the creatures. The good angels, by obeying this command of the Lord, with still increasing and more alert humility, freely subjected themselves, praising the power and the mysteries of the Most High. Lucifer, however, and his confederates rose to a higher pitch of pride and boastful insolence. In disorderly fury he aspired to be himself the head of all the human race and of the angelic orders. And if there was to be a hypostatic union, he demanded that it be consummated in him. The decree constituting him inferior to the mother of the Incarnate Word, our mistress, he opposed with horrible blasphemies. Turning against the author of these great wonders in unbridled indignation, and calling upon the other angels, he exhorted them, saying, "Unjust are these commands, and injury is done to my greatness. This human nature which thou, Lord, lookest upon with so much love, and which thou favorest so highly, I will persecute and destroy. To this end I will direct all my power and all my aspirations. And this woman, mother of the Word, I will hurl from the position in which thou hast proposed to place her. And at my hands the plan which thou settest up shall come to naught." This proud boast so aroused the indignation of the Lord that in order to humble it he spoke to Lucifer, "This woman whom thou refusest to honor shall crush thy head, and by her shalt thou be vanquished and annihilated. And if through thy pride death enters into the world, life and salvation of mortals shall enter through the humility of this woman. Those that are of the nature and likeness of that man and woman shall enjoy the gifts and the crowns which thou and thy followers have lost. To all this, the dragon, filled with indignation against whatever he understood of the divine will and decrees, answered only with pride and by threatening destruction to the whole human race. The good angels saw the just indignation of the Most High against Lucifer and his apostates, and they combated them with the arms of the understanding, reason, and truth. The Almighty, at this conjuncture, worked another wonderful mystery. Having given to all the angels a sufficiently clear intelligence of the great mystery of the hypostatic union, he showed them the image of the Most Holy Virgin by means of an imaginary vision. I speak here according to our way of understanding such things. They were shown the perfection of the human nature in the revelation of an image representing a most perfect woman, in whom the almighty arm of the Most High would work more wonderfully than in all the rest of the creatures. For therein he was to deposit the graces and gifts of his right hand in a higher and more eminent manner. This sign or vision of the Queen of Heaven and of the Mother of the Incarnate Word was made known and manifest to all the angels, good and bad. The good ones at the sign of it broke forth in admiration and in canticles of praise, and from that time on began to defend the honor of the God Incarnate and of His Holy Mother, being armed with ardent zeal and with the invincible shield of that vision. The dragon and his allies, on the contrary, conceived implacable hatred and fury against Christ and His Most Holy Mother. Then happened all that which is described in the 12th chapter of the Apocalypse, which I will explain as far as it has been given to me. The literal version of that chapter of the Apocalypse is as follows. 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. 2. And being with child, she cried travailing in birth, and was in pain to be delivered. 3. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. 4. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, that when she should be delivered, he might devour her son. 5. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with an iron rod, and her son was taken up to God and to his throne. 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that there they should feed her 1,260 days. 7. And there was a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. 8. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. 9. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, who seduceth the whole world, and he was cast unto the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren is cast forth, who accused them before our God day and night. 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell therein. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, and knowing that he hath but a short time. 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. 14. And there were given to the woman two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the desert unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water, as if it were a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the river. 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed the river, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. 17. And the dragon was angry against the woman, and went to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. 18. And he stood upon the sands of the sea.